Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into this Monday edition of Offsides at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips, sitting in for the under the weather Mark Ryan. Hope everybody had a good weekend. Keep Mark in your prayers as he is recovering from an illness. Sit back and relax as Lonzo and yours truly will. I don't want to just crash the ship. I want to blow it up, you know, because the thing is, I love Mark. He and I are really good friends, but we're just different.
Can we roast him while he's gone? By the way, I have no problem with roasting him while he's gone. I'm not surprised he called in. He had a pile of tissue the size of a pitcher's mound underneath the table Friday, so I wasn't shocked when I read he wasn't going to be here. I do hope he feels better, though.
Absolutely. I'm not big on roasting people when I can't look them in the eye, you know, because I'm one of those people that, you know, there's an old saying among hitmen, you know, when you stab somebody or shoot them in the heart, you want to see the life go out of their eyes. See, that's me. I'm sick that way. But you know what? We do hope he gets better. We love him. He'll be back tomorrow. But we're going to try to not just run the ship aground. We're going to try to blow the darn thing up and sink it to the bottom of the ocean. That is one Lonzo Reitzel on the board. How was your weekend, bro?
It was pretty busy, but you know what? I did get to do something I hadn't done before. Starting for Thursday and Friday, I got to go to Thornblade.
BMW?
That thing was beautiful. Unfortunately, we didn't get very many guests because of rain and things, but I got to talk to Miss America. Miss America 2015, not only did I get to talk to her, but I got her to yell at Mark Ryan in Russian.
Well, that's always a benefit,
isn't it? Because she's trilingual.
Really? Yes. So she speaks Russian, English, and what?
Spanish.
And Spanish.
Yes.
Well, she can speak with a lot of people she can communicate with.
She can.
If you want to join the discussion, we've got a jam-packed show on tap today, always coming out of the weekend, especially when you've got two major sports that are fighting for a world championship. Of course, in the NBA Finals, the Toronto Raptors are up 3-1. And looking to close out the Golden State Warriors tonight. And that game is not without some drama, as Kevin Durant, according to Steve Kerr, is a game-time decision and is set to return. Now, I saw the report that he's got a calf injury. I mean, unless he went swimming in San Francisco Bay and got his calf bitten off by a shark, what calf injury could he have possibly done that has allowed him to sit out for 33 days? I'm almost tempted to put Kevin Durant above Kevin Love for the softest player in the NBA. He's close. He's not that far off, but Kevin Love is Charmin soft. And Kevin Durant out 33 days on a calf injury, I mean, you can come back from a reconstructive knee injury faster than what Kevin Durant has come back from a calf injury. Now, the question that I have is, will it be enough to get this season, to get this game, get this series to another game, or will Kawhi Leonard and company close them out tonight in Toronto? We're going to discuss that. Some disheartening news. David Ortiz was shot. I don't know if anybody saw the video. I saw it this morning. Literally, he is in a restaurant like any of us would be. And a guy, he's talking to obviously a friend of his with his back towards the door. See, this is why I never sit with my back to the door. It's my Italian heritage. You don't do that because you don't want to get shot in the back. And literally, this guy walks up to David Ortiz, and it looks like from the video that he shoots him in the back of the head. Now, I don't know where the bullet, I haven't seen the report, but all you see is this guy walk up behind David Ortiz and shoot him at point blank range. Now, that's horrendous. But now what is encouraging, number one, David Ortiz did not die instantly. Number two, he's in the intensive care, and he's going to make a full recovery. But to me, what brings joy to my heart is that the patrons in the bar beat the crap out of this guy. They bum-rushed this idiot, got him onto the ground, and literally beat the crap out of him in the restaurant, to the extent that he had to be taken to the hospital. And then, of course, he was released to the authorities. And, of course, me as the big Red Sox fan that I am, we love Big Poppy. We hope he is going to make that full recovery. All reports are that he will. But what a horrific situation where, I mean, when I saw the video, I could not believe he survived it. Either that or the guy had to be on drugs. They don't know what the motive is. They don't know why this took place. If you want to join the discussion, the call-in line, 844-477-3776, or hit us up on the Health Dare text line, text ESPN to 71307. On some brighter news, my Boston Bruins have forced a Game 7 back to the TD Ameritrade Garden this Wednesday as they take out the St. Louis Blues 5-1 last night. Tuukka Rask was just unbelievable. 29 saves between the pipes. This has been arguably not just, in my opinion, the best Stanley Cup final I've ever witnessed. This is threatening the best sports event ever. Now, most people around here, Lonzo, are you a hockey guy? Do you like hockey?
You know what? I don't dislike hockey, but I'm not a hockey fan.
You're not a hockey fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like your MMA. You kind of got to be a niche. It's kind of a niche sport.
Well, I could tell you that Patrick Brown makes me not want to like it.
Well, you know, did you have a chance to listen on Memorial Day when Patrick and I did the show?
I did not, but I'm sure you owned him.
Oh, we got into a very heated discussion, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And yes, Patrick got smoked. But I will say this. He took the Blues in six. I took the Bruins in six. But both of us did say that more than likely this series was going to go seven, and that's exactly what we got, and we will find out who will hoist Lord Stanley Cup on Wednesday night as well. Rafael Nadal won his 12th French Open. Any question as this guy is the greatest clay court champion in the history of tennis? I don't think that's debatable now as he won his 12th. Maybe the funniest champion coming out of the weekend was Rory McIlroy winning the Canadian Open. Did you see what Rory said after he won? Somebody asked him, is this getting you prepared for the next major coming up? I believe it's the PGA, USO. I can't remember. They switched them. And he goes, no, I'm going to be hungover. How honest is that? So you got to appreciate that. College baseball is narrowing itself down to the super regionals. Some teams have made it in. I believe Florida State, Michigan are in. Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's pitcher had a no-hitter. We're going to talk to Brett Friedlander around 2 o'clock as he will get us up to date on where college baseball, where the super regionals are at right now heading into the College World Series. Man, what a stink bomb both South Carolina and Clemson had from a college baseball, you know, standpoint. Now, I'm hearing the Gamecocks have a really good recruiting class coming in, but you got to wonder, Mark Kingston, how many years is he going to be able to survive a season like this? Because you can't be a national power like the Gamecocks are and just blow a stink bomb this past year like the Gamecocks did. Of course, Monty Lee and his Clemson Tigers sneaked into the tournament and then got ousted rather rudely in the first half of that tournament. So Monty Lee's got some work to do as well. The Texans fired their GM, Brian Gain, as well as your Kansas City Chiefs made some news this offseason trying to bolster their defense. Lonzo, did they succeed? I mean, is this defense? I mean, look, hey, D Ford, stay on side, you idiot.
Exactly.
I mean, all you got to do is watch the ball. Okay, and Kansas City goes to the Super Bowl. Why is this so hard to figure out that one bonehead mistake kept Kansas City from going to the Super Bowl? And who would have said they wouldn't have won it? But, I mean, people act like Kansas City needs all this help defensively. Well, they were a penalty away from going to the Super Bowl.
No, listen, I agree with you, but at the same time, I mean, and they won a ton of games. They could have won them even more convincingly if they didn't have to outscore them by so much. The defense was not that good. But when the offense is so good, which it was, it made up for that. And it wasn't all D Ford's fault, but I do agree with you. And you're someone who coaches kids all the time. You would think when you get to the NFL level, you're just looking down the line. You're waiting until that ball moves. It's not that hard. It's not that hard.
Well, let me tell you what we do up at Blue Ridge High School. We've got, and Kansas City needs to, maybe their budget won't allow them to buy one of those $50 stick balls. You know what a stick ball is? It's a broom handle that has a football on the end of it, and you put it on the ground for the defensive line, and they key it, and you move it. And you fake the cadence of the quarterback so it trains them on eye discipline to go on the movement of the football and not the cadence. Maybe Kansas City needs to invest in one of those. I don't know. They don't have one.
Well, D Ford's no longer with the team, so you don't have to worry about that, about him anymore.
Funny how that works in the real world.
Suddenly
you don't do
he's
your
gone.
Job, you cost your team, you're fired. Funny how that is. South Carolina, the Gamecocks got some extraordinary news coming out of the weekend, as the Gamecocks, Will Muschamp and his staff are just on fire from a recruiting standpoint. A big commitment from the number 3 player in the state of South Carolina, Alex Huntley, a defensive tackle / defensive end, a 4-star kid out of the Hammond School there in Columbia, 6'5", 280 pounds. Had his choice to go anywhere in the country. He decides to stay home, made his commitment to the Gamecocks. Also, the Gamecocks are in the mix for the number 1 player in the state, Adrian Birch, another defensive lineman, defensive end there out of Columbia. We're going to have J.C. Sherbert on at about 3:30, 3:25 to talk about this recruiting class who is starting. I believe it's cracked the top 10 now. So I think Rivals has them at number 9, number 8, and I believe 24/7 Sports has them at 11 or 10 knocking on the door. But overall, this class is starting to develop itself as a top 10 class, which the Gamecocks desperately needed coming off that 7-5 season from this past year that a lot of Gamecock fans thought was underachieving. Lonzo, are you surprised at the way Muschamp is able to rally the troops and bring in the haul? They got the number 6 running back in the country a couple of weeks ago to commit. Now they get another need at the critical defensive line position. He is fortifying that front 7 for the Gamecocks.
See, here's the problem, and we've been talking about this. I mean, yes, the recruiting looks excellent, but can they teach him how to tackle? Because there were times last year they were watching people go by, and it's like, you know, touch them, something. It's like the next guy up, and I know they had a lot of injuries, but the next guy up didn't look like he knew how to do anything, and that comes down to coaching. And I think at some point, you know, it's Will Muschamp's responsibility as a defensive coach to speak up for why his defense has not been that good.
Well, we'll discuss that. And there's a reason why that we'll discuss. We're also, we've got an all-star cast of guests that are lined up. Brett Friedlander is going to join us. J.C. Sherbert at 3:30. We'll have Bill Bender, the senior editor of the Sporting News magazine, is going to join us. The college football season is here. These magazines are out. Stephen Lason, senior editor of Athlon. And both of those knuckleheads are answer to me why both of them have Alabama ahead of Clemson after the Tide just got beat by 30 by Clemson. This is Offsides at ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back on this Monday, June the 10th, 2019 edition of Offsides. I am Josh Phillips sitting in for the ill Mark Ryan. That's Lonzo on the butt. You know what, Lonzo? Me and you need to get into a fist fight. That seems to be the going thing in sports, is two guys marketing out there that they're going to fight. Now, I don't know what planet I'm living in. Because now, all of a sudden, we've got breaking news that Justin Midget Bieber is challenging Tom, the little person, Cruz. They're both, what, about 5'2"?
Well, actually, Bieber is 5'9", and Cruz is 5'7", according to the story. I mean, you know, you and I, with football backgrounds, we know how that goes, as far as what real heights are.
Yeah, so Bieber's really about 5'7", 5'5".
Yeah.
And somewhere in that range.
And Cruz is 5'2", more than
And
likely.
Tom Cruise is 5'2". So now Justin Bieber has challenged Tom Cruise. Is it a boxing match, MMA? What is it?
He wants to get in the octagon. So, yeah.
So they want to lock up.
No, Bieber wants to lock up.
Bieber wants to lock up.
Cruise hasn't said anything yet. So.
And now Bieber's got his boy,
Conor McGregor,
shouting from the rooftops that Cruise doesn't want any.
But Conor has also offered to use his entertainment company to put on the fight. Imagine that.
You know, I want to do my best Conor McGregor impersonating, but I can't use the word that he does.
Yeah, you don't.
We would all get canned.
No, I can only push that button so many times.
Exactly. But it is hysterical to hear him say it. So now Justin Bieber wants to get, he must be hanging around Floyd Mayweather too much. You know, remember when he was in his entourage when Mayweather fought Pacquiao?
Yeah.
A few years ago in that geriatric heavyweight, not a heavyweight, but it was a championship bout that took 20 years to make. And the only people that won was Mayweather and Pacquiao because they both left with about $100 million. The boxing world did not benefit from that. But now we get, where have the days of Ali and Foreman and Ali and Liston, now we've got to deal with Bieber and Cruz.
See, here's the thing, though, with something like this. Don't you want to see it? I would like to see Tom Cruise mop the floor with Bieber, but according to Vegas, because there's a line out there already, they think Bieber would win. But Bieber's got youth and he's got a little bit of height, so he's probably got reach. But Tom Cruise is old and wily, and he does all his own stunts. And I put my money on Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion that, and I don't want to waste too much airtime on this because it's obviously a publicity stunt, which, I mean, does Tom Cruise and Justin Bieber really need marketing? I mean, do they really need more publicity? I think, you know, Tom Cruise is an A-list celebrity that's on the Walk of Fame. He's world-renowned. And I think Bieber has the second most Twitter followers at like 90 million, only behind Katy Perry. So do they really need this? I mean, are they that bored?
Look at the buzz. It proves what your star is. I mean, your star status, if you just throw something like this out there and it's everywhere, including on Sports Illustrated and everywhere, and people want to see this happen, it makes me think, who would you like to see fight? I mean, there are some people out there you'd love to see fight. And you talk about me fighting you, I wouldn't want to fight you. You're one of the few people in the building I don't think that I could take easily. And so
I'm old and fat.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
According to my Twitter haters.
The first thing you started talking about was Hitman. So, I mean, you know. But now me and Mark Ryan, that's a totally different story. So, I mean, you know, I'd love to see that happen. Even though he's a new guy and everything. But and he's younger than me.
You know, I would have to consult some of the sages in the desert on what the odds would be with a Lonzo versus Ryan death match. Would it be MMA or what would the format be?
He would want boxing because he's done that before. Like a dummy, he told me he was drunk and he got in the ring with someone in one of those like hitman, tough man contests.
I mean, that's not something you really, that's not a sport you really want to do inebriated.
It's not. I would rather go MMA because I have a wrestling background. And let's face it, I definitely have a weight advantage and I think I'm meaner. But, you know, that's just how that goes. And there are other people. I have seen some radio shows where you would love to see a grudge match between the two people in there. And sadly, it's come close. When I first started working here, our sister station, B93.7, there's a guy named Tiaz and a guy named Poncho. I first started working here. Their studio was next to ours. I would hear the wall shaking, and I would go in, and they were throwing each other as hard as they could up against the wall. They both weighed about 110 pounds, but still, it's like, what is wrong with you people? So I've seen it actually happen, and no equipment got broken somehow. I don't know. I mean, if me and you went at it in here, stuff's getting broke.
Well, one fight that is not made up and is not a publicity stunt is this Bumgarner versus Max Unsi war that has now carried over out of the field and into social media. Lonzo, did you see the exchange? The Giants were playing the Dodgers at home, and Bumgarner throws a dead red piece of cheese right down the middle of the plate that Max Unsi properly deposits into McCovey Cove. He had to hit it about 450 feet. Well, Unsi starts up the first baseline into his home run trot because everybody on the planet knew it was gone. And Bumgarner starts following him up the first baseline. And he's yapping at him the whole way. And now I'm thinking, all right, what did Unsi do? Did he flip his bat? Did he, you know, flip him the bird? Did he wake up with his wife? I mean, what did he do to elicit such a response? So I went back and I watched the video. And in modern day baseball, it was the most tame home run celebration I ever saw. Unsi hits the ball, turns over, kind of tosses the bat a little bit, and starts into his trot. And then Bumgarner starts yelling at him like a schoolgirl sissy. I wanted to see Bumgarner charge the mound. Because that's exactly what instituted. Well, then Bumgarner comes out today, and he's whining about what happened.
You know, I heard a little bit about this on Levitard earlier, and this is pretty ridiculous. It really is. I think if you're the pitcher who just gave up the home run, you probably just need to shut up. Don't worry about what they're doing after they hit the home run. Don't give up the home run. You don't have to worry about it.
Well, look, I have no problem with, you know, if it warrants getting thrown at, I have no problem with that. I'm an old school baseball guy. So You know, like a couple of years ago when the – it's always the Dodgers. The Dodgers are a bunch of instigators. You know, it wasn't that long ago when we had the whole Chase Utley versus the Mets situation when Utley slid into Tejada at second, turning a double play and broke the guy's leg. So then the next time we saw Utley, he was at – then it was all-out war between not just the Mets players, but then the Mets fans as they were chanting, "We want Utley, we want Utley," when the Dodgers came to Shea Stadium. And then right away, he gets thrown at, and they've got a bench-clearing brawl. And now, you want to talk about funny. Now, we can never play the Tom, I believe the guy's name is Tom Hillman, who was the umpire during that game, and he was mic'd up. If you want entertainment, go to YouTube and YouTube Tom, I'll have to look it up. I believe it's Tom Hillman, I believe, was the umpire as he is trying to officiate this melee, because then Terry Collins comes running out of the dugout. He's cursing the home plate umpire because he immediately throws Syndergaard out of the game. Now, it was one pitch that was thrown so far behind Utley, it wasn't even funny. And then, of course, Syndergaard's trying to play it off like the ball slipped and this, that, and the other. And then it turns into this whole situation. So, look, and then Terry Collins is yelling profanities about the umpires have to give the Mets their shot to get back at Utley for spiking Tejada and taking him out. You know what? I've got no problem with that. That's been around. There are certain things in baseball that's just part of the game, and either you accept it or you don't. It's like in football. If a guy's running his mouth during a game, at some point, he's going to get ear-holed. Right or wrong, that's just the way the game is played. And yes, you're going to get a 15-yard penalty, but guess what? He's going to shut up. So now these guys that want to do an MC Hammer dance at the plate every time they hit a home run, I've got no problem with the pitcher sticking one in his ear. I don't. You want to join the discussion? 844-477-3776 is a call-in line, or hit us up on the HealthDare text line. Text ESPN to 71307. I do have a problem with pitchers doing what Bumgarner did when Max Unsley didn't do anything. If you're that mad, that's fine. Take the ball, put it in your glove. The next time he's up at bat, stick one under his chin. If you think he's hanging out over the plate, and I know there's this new age philosophy that, oh, well, pitchers should just get over it. Pitchers throwing at batters for showing them up at the plate is as American and as entrenched as baseball as the 4th of July fireworks, homemade apple pie, and hamburgers on holidays. This is Offsides at ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now that is outstanding rejoin music. If I had a voice, I would start singing it. I love that song. Lonzo, the other thing, where do you reside on this? Now, again, to me, Bumgarner's out of line. I didn't think Muncy did anything to warrant that type of response. But at the same time, I mean, this kind of stuff makes baseball interesting, and it desperately needs that. And I think that's why you haven't saw Major League Baseball. They've attempted to try to address these things. But look, let's be honest. Major League Baseball is about like watching paint dry. I mean, the stands, nobody goes to the games. The games are boring. You can't relate to any of the players. So maybe a brawl is a way, a brawl every now and then, maybe that's a way to get interest in the game, because other than that, the game sucks. Unless you are a diehard fan and you've got a specific team that you follow, nobody really cares about Major League Baseball until the end of September. It's kind of like college baseball. Unless you've got a team that's in it, nobody really cares. It's fodder for football season. Which, by the way, we're inside 85 days before college football kicks off. Clemson has had an outstanding offseason. Have you noticed something? I don't know if, you know, while Dabo Swinney's out globetrotting around, going to all these baseball events, which I've got no problem with, the man's enjoying life. Nick Saban is nowhere to be found. Am I the only one that's noticed this?
That should scare people.
He is nowhere to be found. I mean, you want to talk about gone in bunker style. And after getting shellacked the way they did in the national championship, I don't blame him. Because I don't think anybody saw a 30-point beatdown coming. But you can't find Saban anywhere. I mean, he has to do his perfunctory press conference that is contractually mandated. But other than that, that's it. You know, usually this time of the year, these guys are playing golf, charity golf events, and on their little well-wishing tour with their fan base and donors and all of those things. Man, you haven't heard a peep out of Saban. Not a peep. And Lonzo brings up a fact that should scare people. I don't know, should it? I mean, I know he's embarrassed, but look. You know, there were so many things that went into that whole dynamic. Number one, Clemson was just a better football team. And I don't know anybody else watching it. But Alabama looks slow. They look like, you know those things at the fair? What are those sumo costumes that people get into and kind of waddle around and bump each other in the chest and try to knock each other over? That's what Alabama's football team looked like. They look big, but they look slow. And they literally look like those Cape Buffaloes over in Africa that just kind of waddle around. And Clemson just ran right by them. I mean, the speed differential was so noticeable that it was crazy. And then the separation that the wide receivers were able to get, that game was over before it started. But there was also, I will say this, that starting to leak out now, You know, Alabama had a lot of internal turmoil situations going on. I don't know how many people are aware of this, but apparently Tosh Lupe, who was named the defensive coordinator at Alabama prior to the season after Pruitt left to take the Tennessee job, was not a staff favorite. And the reason for that is a lot of those veteran guys that have been with Saban did not feel like Tosh had enough experience coaching the secondary and his ability to make adjustments. But at the same time, there were other schools that were calling Saban wanting to hire Tosh because he is a crackpot recruiter. The guy's one of the best recruiters in the country. And if you're going to be on Nick Saban's staff, the first criteria is you better be able to recruit. That's why Alabama's always in the top five, top three in the national recruiting rankings every year. It's because he doesn't care what type of X's and O's you got. He wants to know, can you go get them? So he was kind of caught between a rock and a hard place, and that does he let somebody else take this guy, or does he give him the defensive coordinator's position, knowing there were issues and deficiencies that he thought he could overcome? Now, I didn't know this until recently, talking to some coaching buddies of mine, but Saban demoted him the third game into the season when the Citadel was tied with him 10-10. The Citadel. And then Saban come out and talked about how none of the players at the Citadel could even play at Alabama, even on their JV squad. But yet here they are tied with them 10-10 at the half. So he ended up halfway through the season demoting Tosh and basically taking over the defensive coordinators. But he's already paying him $1 million. That's why you saw Tosh Lupe then jump ship and go to the Cleveland Browns. Because now you've got the infighting on the defensive staff of guys hating this guy because he doesn't know what he's doing. And then, boom, you've got a big blow up on the staff. But, I mean, are we really surprised? At some point, staff continuity is an enormous advantage. And that's exactly what's helping Dabo Swinney. Saban, the last time I counted, I believe Saban has had, this goes with coordinators and assistants, between 25 and 32 in the last 7 years alone. Think about that. Staff turnover of 25 to 30 in the last 7 years. That's almost five assistants you're turning over every single year. They better be glad they've recruited at such an elite level, because most staffs can't survive that.
Well, my question for you, so how many losses does it take in a national championship game before Alabama's not Alabama anymore? Because, I mean, you were talking about earlier that the magazines are out and they have Alabama at number one again. How much will it take before they're not number one anymore?
Never. Because the thing is, even though Alabama has had so much turnover among their staff, the one common denominator is Saban. And as long as he's the head of the dragon, I'm borrowing your shirt, which I love. I know people out there can't see it, but Lonzo's got this outstanding dragon shirt on that I fully support. But as long as Saban is the head of the dragon, Alabama recruiting is going to, because you will recruit if you're going to be on his staff. That is a non-negotiable. And as long as Alabama see, what that tells me is Bama is just beating up on people because they've got them outmanned. You can't say it's coaching anymore. And I know that's blasphemy because, I mean, you're talking about arguably one of the greatest coaches of all time. But every time he faces an offense with a pulse, they hang 50 on him. So can you be considered that great? I mean, that's just the truth. Yeah, when you play the Troys and when you play, I mean, Arkansas hung 31 on them. 31. Every team that has somewhat of a pulse offensively hangs 30 to 50 points on Alabama almost every time they play them. So, yeah, Saban better get that defense straight. This is Offsides at ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome in, ESPN Upstate, Upstate listeners, on this June the 10th. Can you believe it's already June? I mean, where did this year go? I've just been amazed. It's like somebody hit fast forward on life.
You know, usually at this point you're going, man, football season's going to be here soon. It's taking forever, but no. It'll feel like next week football season will be here already, because I agree, it's going by really, really fast.
Well, for us, football season's here, and I'm flat out excited. You know, we're competing in a 7-on-7 tomorrow, and then we're headed to the University of Tennessee for a 2-day 7-on-7 tournament at the end of this week. And then we've got a North Greenville 7-on-7 tournament, Wofford. Does an outstanding job with their camp in 7-on-7 that we'll be competing in. It's an exciting time for us up at Blue Ridge High School, especially coming in to our second year. So we're exceptionally excited about that and looking forward to watching our young team get out there and compete a little bit.
I got to ask you something. It's a little off the subject, but it's not. So
go ahead.
Near the end of the year, kids get really excited because summer's coming. Are teachers the same way?
Yes.
Okay. The teachers start counting down the days.
Really, the teachers are done about the middle of May. Because then you got all the testing that sets in and, you know, EOCs and all of those things that have to get done for the kids. The seniors are gone about the first week. About the second week in May. So almost a quarter of the school is gone because the seniors are out of there. They're going on their senior trip, and, you know, you got graduation coming up and all of that. But, yes, my stepdad is also a school teacher, and bless his heart, he's done about the 1st of May. So speaking of family, I had three relatives, my Uncle Bill Rogers, my cousins Chris Rogers and Billy Rogers, competed in the BMW that turned into water polo, from what I heard. Saturday, my uncle was telling me they had an 11-hour round. They started the round at 7 o'clock. They played two holes, then the marshal blows the horn because of the weather. Then it's 3 hours before they tee off again. They didn't get done to almost 6:45 Saturday for their round, or Friday, excuse me, for their round. An 11-hour round on the golf course. Unbelievable. And, of course, nobody can do it because, number one, nobody's God. And you've got to do what the weather allows. But what an unbelievable – I've got to give all those guys credit for being troopers – to just make it through a day where you're on the golf course for 11 hours. Because you can't get into any rhythm. Because you start a hole, stop. You got a break. You got to go into the clubhouse. You got to let the weather clear. You come back out. You play a hole or two, and then boom, you're back into the clubhouse. I mean, Lonzo, you were out there. How bad was it?
Oh, it was really bad. You know, we did the show live there for, you know, this – time slot, 1 to 4. And somewhere, I'm trying to think, somewhere in the first or second hour, the skies cleared up, and they started playing some. By the time I was gone and driving away, it was starting to rain again. So I can't imagine how that would have been. I know the day before, the clubhouse was full. You know, people were finishing the rounds. Friday, there was no one there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just too much. Before the top of the hour break, let's get Bear in. Bear, real quick, my man.
Hey, bud, I was just going to ask you real quick what your opinion was on these 7-on-7 tournaments. My son just went to one Friday. He was in Tennessee.
Okay.
And I have actually heard that they're horrible. They teach you, they learn bad habits. I don't know. It's just really negative article I read about them the other day. But anyway, he's got several this whole month.
Yes. Bear, I will answer that question right now. Lonzo, how long do we got?
You got a minute to answer it.
A minute to answer it. You know, Bear, there's pros and cons to it. I mean, look, it does help with the timing of the quarterbacks and the wide receivers, and it also helps from a coverage standpoint because you don't have a defensive line. The only problem that I really have with it is they give the quarterbacks, in my opinion, too much time. You've got 4 seconds, which is not really realistic because no secondary is going to hold up having to cover for 4 seconds. But other than that, I think there are some good benefits for it if your child is a quarterback or a skill or he plays linebacker or in the secondary. This is Offsides at ESPN Upstate.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.